are the chosen one, you will find the child.
You have until nightfall to find the child. Sardo cannot kill him until dark.
So, you're just gonna let that booger freeze up on your jacket like that? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 77, and we are thrilled to be here yet again to help you mine the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Blood Oatmeal Dunaway.
Funny you should say that. Hey, look, I'm no evil genius, but if you're wanting to feed a child some blood to make him susceptible to human harm, oatmeal is not the way to go. Think more in the lines of Frankenberry cereal, maybe some Nestle Strawberry Quick.
Brian, don't you think you could really fit a good amount of blood inside a Pop-Tart?
Gross.
Maybe. I mean, the Strawberry Quick, that the stuff looks pretty tasty. It's not.
Frosted Strawberry good. Blood Pop-Tart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Hugs, not drugs.
Hugs, not drugs. That's right. Also with us, Randy, case of beer and a quart of pork fried. Damn it. A case of beer and a quart of pork fried rice, Jordan.
Aloha, Mr. Dunaway. Aloha, Mr. Ibbett. Aloha, Mr. Johnson. Only a real and true and meaningful friendship with people I truly adore, such as yourselves.
All those stupid white people, always reading magazines like Chunky Asses or being all rude on a talk show. But the scariest white people of all are the ones who wear jackets but don't put their arms in the sleeves.
Yes. You know what you should have done there, though? You should have done... Oh, did I not copy it? Dang it. I didn't put it in here. I'll find it.
What, the laugh?
Yeah. Can you do it? Do the laugh.
Eddie Murphy?
You can.
There you go.
There it is.
I have things to say about that here in a minute, but the film in question is The Golden Child.
Can I do that the whole show?
Yes, you can. Please do. Okay. 1986. I was a junior in high school. That's all I want to say about that. Scott Fletcher knows more about the film than we do, and therefore has this to say.
The Golden Child. L.A. social worker Chandler Jarrell, played by Eddie Murphy, has a knack for finding lost children. That's why the beautiful priestess Ki Nang, played by Charlotte Lewis, turns to Jarrell when a child with mystical powers, played by J.L. Reate, is kidnapped from Tibet and brought to Los Angeles. Now, Gerald's mission is to find the boy and bring peace to the world. Along the way, he fights his way through a series of traps and terrors in this comic adventure.
What did this remind you of, this film?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe a little film called Big Trouble in Little China?
Maybe, just a little bit.
Considering half the cast was in it? Yeah.
Maybe this strange middle scene where suddenly it's like a nod to Indiana Jones, only without the fun.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that one.
A little bit of that, but there was a strain of these films. That sounds like a bad way of saying it. There was a run of these films in the 80s where they all tried to cash in on the kind of Indiana Jones-ish of things. I would think of this. I would think of Big Trouble. I would also think of Romancing the Stone, others that all kind of fit into that category. And none of them, not even close to what Indiana Jones pulled off. Or specifically Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then later Temple of Doom. But I kind of want to say this right up front, because I know, Randy, you did not like it very much.
Who could?
I don't know about you two. I don't know about the Brian Jett, and obviously I want to hear in a second, but I kind of enjoyed it better than I thought I would. That isn't to say Like there are a lot of problems I have with it. But when Eddie Murphy gets to be improv-y, it's pretty funny. There's moments there when he just wants a chip. He just wants potato chips. Remember that? When he busts into that family's barbecue, he's holding up by gun. He's just, I just want some chips. You know,
that might have been the best scene in the movie.
Right. That kind of stuff. He was so good at that. So good at that improv stuff.
Turn it over. Turn that thing over. It's burning.
Right.
And, yeah.
And he kind of did the same thing, basically, writ large in those the movies where he wore the fat suit and was everybody. What's the name of those? The Dr. Dude. Not Dr. Dude. Little. The other one. Whatever it is.
Yeah, the Nutty Professor.
Nutty Professor. He kind of does that. That's his whole shtick. He makes stuff up on the go. And I like that about him. And he did it quite a bit in this movie. But whenever it was scripty stuff and story and supposed to have me take things seriously, that's where they kind of lost me. But on the whole, kind of had more fun than I thought I was supposed to have. Like, I kind of walked away not hating it. I kind of walked away going, hey, you know what? My kids are like this.
I hate to argue with your syntax, but you were supposed to have a lot of fun with this movie. You were supposed to, right?
Well, right. Yes. No. Well, okay. From the film sack perspective, yes.
In 86, you were supposed to have a lot of fun with this movie.
Yeah. And I remember having fun with it then. Yeah, it was good. So, Dunaway, what'd you think of it in the theater then and then now?
I always loved this movie. This is one of those movies that I have. This is one of my guilty pleasures. I had forgotten how poor the special effects were at the end, but other than that, I thought it was pretty dang good.
You didn't like the stop motion?
I enjoyed it.
Bat dude, you didn't think he was very good?
Well, there were scenes where it was really good when it was hidden by a lot of smoke. I mean, it was really creepy, but when he first does the reveal, it's pretty bad. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this movie. I guess because I remember watching it so many times back in the day. It doesn't feel aged. It was exactly the movie that I remember.
So, Ibbot, what's your history with this film?
I remember liking it a lot more than this latest viewing. And I think it's kind of along the same lines where I remembered all the funny stuff from the film. I remember Eddie Murphy on the plane and Eddie Murphy interacting with
the Tibetans.
The Tibetans, right, exactly. Yeah. And then you get the main stuff. Exactly. But then you get the main stuff that moves the plot forward. And it's like, okay, you know, we've got a bad guy in this film who is less effective in his demon form than he is in his human form. Like, he can go zoop and teleport and appear somewhere else. Talk about, there you go. There's your way to take out Eddie Murphy. Zoop, oh, here's the knife. Zoop, oh, stab. Right.
This guy can blink. That's a little overpowered for this movie.
Totally. He was like Nightcrawler half the movie, I thought.
Right. But then as soon as he's in his demon form, well, you know, big chunk of rock takes him most of the way out.
What did you guys think of the guy who played the head devil dude or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved Cookie Monster as Satan.
No, that wasn't Cookie Monster.
That was a great cameo.
I have that later.
No, that was the Claw from Go-Go Gadget.
Yes, but no, same guy.
Yeah.
The Claw and Cookie Monster are the same. Did you know that?
No, what?
No, I didn't.
Claw and Cookie Monster are the same guy?
No.
I didn't know that.
Be Cookie.
Same guy that has a voice, you're saying?
No, it's the same guy.
Well, that's what I mean—the same voice actor. Cookie Monster is the Claw.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
He eventually gets so freaking fed up of being, you know, fed nothing but cookies and having to hang around Sesame Street that he decides to go become a criminal mastermind.
I love Cookie Monster. all right, yeah, I'll give you that. They sound like the same guy. But I will. What was I gonna? I had a point with that. Oh, the bad guy, the devil guy, looked like Jeffrey Jones to me, like a more demure. Not as goofy.
Yeah.
Totally Jeffrey Jones. In fact, at first I went, is that Jeffrey Jones? And I started.
Oh, Charles Dance, the guy from Last Action Hero.
Yeah, and the guy who's now in my favorite thing of all time, Game of Thrones. Yeah, he plays Tywin Lannister, the father jerk face of all the Lannisters. Yeah. And in case nobody's familiar with that show, I could do this for you.
Excuse to play the theme.
Listen to that. I'll let it just wash over you, dude.
It's funny because Tristan and I have just recently gotten the Blu-ray set for Alien, and we've been watching all of them. Basically had kind of a marathon Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, watched all four movies.
Dude.
And I didn't realize that in Alien 4, Charles Dance is the doctor that Ripley falls in, or I'm sorry, Alien 3. Charles Dance is the doctor that Ripley falls in love with.
That guy, well, he shaved his head then.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's so different in that. Yeah.
He totally is. Yeah.
You know what? That was one of the characters I liked. Of course, Alien 3 is famous for killing off anyone you care about. But
pretty much.
But yes. This movie is his wheelhouse. Like this evil, you know, overpowered warlock is where he needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The shape-shifting into the worst animated freaking thing ever made.
I just can't believe he's got access to Satan, mm-hmm. and this is the best they can do.
This is all they could muster, dude. All they could muster. Let's talk about who is in it and who did it. Director Michael Ritchie. No relation to Guy Ritchie, I don't think. Writers Dennis Feldman, stars Eddie Murphy, and all these people we mentioned. The Golden Child, the J.L. Reet, or whatever the name is, not a boy, played by a girl.
Wow.
You can kind of tell looking at her. A little feminized, but if you look it up, it's totally
the
a
name
chick.
J.L., I'm sorry, that's a boy's name.
I agree. But they were trying
unless
to fool
it stands
you.
For Jessica or Jasmine actually is well, what
no,
it stands
I, but
for.
But I'm saying the name J.L. Like I get what it's yeah. I get that it could stand for something that's a girl's name. But yeah. If you said I'm going to walk next door and borrow a lawnmower from J.L., you sound like you're talking about a dude.
Not very authentic either.
Who's probably drinking?
Yeah,
I think any initials. I mean, unless you're talking about E.B. White or J.K. Rowling because you know they're women. But if you say I'm going to go over and see Dr. next door. Or JP or anything like that.
Wouldn't it be great if J.K. Simmons wrote the Harry Potter books and J.K. Rowling was in that prison show Oz? That'd be an awesome switch up. Freaky Friday, baby. But yeah, Jasmine Reach, she was born on September 14th, 1979. So that would put her at what, about 30 now? 31? Mm-hmm. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Interesting.
Anyway.
It's just very interesting. I didn't pick up on that at all.
She's from California, eh? Not even
this is the only role she's had, the only acting role she's had.
She went on to be, well, she didn't need it. All she needed was a few mint leaves in a cage, and she is good.
And a Pepsi can.
And a Pepsi can, dancing Pepsi. Oh, my gosh, the dancing Pepsi can.
Isn't it wonderful that they said they had to surround the Golden Child by evil to keep him from being able to use his powers to escape?
Yeah.
And they then went on to make a statement of what's better, Coke or Pepsi?
Yep, totally did. But I just, when that started happening, I thought, uh-oh, it's suddenly John Cusack's Better Off Dead. Like, right. You know, the dancing burgers. Right,
the dancing hamburger stuff,
with Van Halen going.
Anyway. Would have been so much better, too, if it had Van Halen instead of this ripoff of Herbie Hancock.
Well, it was Putting on the Ritz or something, wasn't it? Wasn't that the song?
Mm-hmm. It was. Yep, it was. Putting on the Ritz.
Yep. And it was bad.
And then Mongol was all happy.
That guy was great. I like that guy.
Awesome.
Who else was in this? Charlotte Lewis. She's the freaking hot key name character. She is totally good.
So her issue of Playboy.
Oh, she's in Playboy?
Yeah. Her issue of Playboy hit the newsstands the day I turned 18.
Whoa.
And so my buddies were all, hey, you got to, we had to go to the convenience store and buy something that I could only then buy now that I was 18, and that was it. So I actually had her issue of Playboy for a long time.
Man, your friends are creepy.
What? You were in high school. Shut up.
I was, but I don't remember this at all. I don't remember her doing that, but she is a lovely human being.
Yeah.
Although there's a recent picture of her, and she looks like Skeletor. But anyway, I thought she looked really nice in this movie. She looked she's
very
pretty.
I like the gratuitous wet t-shirt contest thing.
Yeah, that was great.
That was incredible.
Way to slip that one in.
I haven't seen any pictures of her where she looks like Skeletor. What are you talking about, Scott?
Image search, fifth row down, and you can see her saying, I'll get you, He-Man.
In front of a bookshelf?
Yeah. You and your purple cat. I guess he was not purple. What was he?
What are you going to do, man? Everybody's got to age.
No, I know. I don't. Dude, freaking trust me. I know all about this lately. I got stuff that hurts that shouldn't hurt. Anyway.
Do you have some new areas of hair?
No, but my ear hair has decided that it wants to be gratuitous.
The fastest growing hair on your body?
Yes.
On your ears now?
Yeah. It's like suddenly it just goes, all right, you guys, it's our time. It's our time to shine.
And I'm going to bust your clippers. I'm going to bust your...
Just like my great uncle Jack. He passed that down to me for some horrible reason. And that man, when he was in his 80s, he'd come around for parties. Oh, you kids are looking good today. And he'd get close to you and his ears would just look like wheat fields were coming out of there. It was horrible.
Delicious.
Anyway, the return of Victor Wong. We haven't seen him since. Oh, I don't know. Big Trouble in Little China. And then his good buddy, James Hong, that guy.
Huh?
He was there.
He's back doing his thing. There you go.
But the third guy is gone. Walrus mustachioed kung fu guy didn't make it in this.
Well, this was 86, so we think he was busy making the first Die Hard, where he was one of the terrorists along with the Amish guy and dude what plays Snape. So there's that. Let's see. Anyone else we know? Nobody really. Let's see. Oh, Eric Douglas. Yeah, Randall, go ahead.
We glossed over Randall Tex Cobb, but I do want to bring attention to him because he doesn't usually look like a mongoloid. But he was the guy in Raising Arizona who's the ultimate badass, right?
Oh, he's this guy in
And he spends, he's the biker that comes into town.
He's actually intended to be like, I don't know if this is supposed to be a comedy, this movie, but he's like the comic relief, which is weird because Eddie Murphy's in this movie.
Yeah.
He's a pro kickboxer, by the way.
I'm assuming he's supposed to be some type of minion of some sort. I mean, he's like more than just mentally handicapped. He's just flat out crazy.
He was focused on the job at hand.
But he's like a demi-demon of some kind,
Oh, you think so? It's like the demon form of demigod, kind of thing?
I'm just saying he's clearly corrupted. He's not just a pure human, right?
Like, right. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Of course, you can't tell anything in this movie because I don't even know what Eddie Murphy's job is.
There's a character in this film. There's a character in this film who her mother was raped by a dragon.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's just assume Randall Tex Cobb's great-grandfather was raped by a yak. How's that?
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. I can't think of anything I'd rather have happen to me. Also, quick note that Eric Douglas, who played Yellow Dragon, although I don't know why that name doesn't seem right, but he was the biker dude that sold the girl for the rice and the whatever.
Oh, okay.
He is the overdosed, now deceased, younger brother of Michael Douglas and other son of Kirk Douglas.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
Look at the connections.
He's the black sheep of the family, the least successful of the family, and the one that overdosed. So there you go. He died at age 46 in 2004. So that wasn't even that old. Anyway, that was him.
Poor guy never really did much. I mean, Flamingo Kid, The White Shadow he was in.
He was in Delta Force 3, The Killing Game.
Yeah. And Tomboy. I barely remember the film. Mm-hmm. Oh, poor guy.
Yep. Oh, well. Mm. He was Mordor in The Words Left Unsaid. That seems weird.
Okay.
Three years after his death.
He was a zone in Middle Earth where bad people.
Weird.
That's very weird. So anyway, that's basically the breakdown of who's in it and what. Let's talk about some trivia. Originally intended as a serious adventure drama with Mel Gibson in the lead role. Gibson turned down the film and Eddie Murphy replaced him. The script was rewritten as a partial comedy. How partial is up to you and your sensibilities, although the Golden Child's referred to as a boy. Oh, yeah, this I already mentioned that. According to an early 1990s interview with Eddie Murphy, a love scene between him and Charlotte Lewis was filmed but cut from the final print. So there was some kind of...
It didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense because they weren't supposed to have done anything yet.
Yeah, but remember her in the blue shirt
They did. Yeah, they did do something earlier.
They even mention it. She mentions something late in the film about why she slept with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, she did?
It didn't.
Yeah, they slept together initially. That first night when she's like, aren't you going to invite me up again? And, oh, yes, twice, yes. Hey, yes, yes.
Oh, and he jumped on the bed. Was this a bed? Yeah, and he jumped on the bed.
Right.
That had to have been it, and they cut it out.
It was the night before. Right. It was the night before they went to Nepal.
There's the producers like, we've already got about 20 shits in this. I think a sex scene would put us over the top. Let's stay PG-13. Okay, people? Okay. That's what they
ass and shit. Was this full in?
He loves the use of the ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Frequent.
That word was used a lot.
Yeah, whole lot.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick your ass. For a guy who never actually kicks anybody's ass,
ever.
He threatens that so
much. He actually had a pretty good scene in the biker scene with the Yellow Dragons, who are really wusses. I mean, bikers suck at fighting. Everybody knows that.
You mean the scene where he got captured and tied up?
No, right after that, when he was released, he kicked some butt.
Oh, yeah, I did. He fought.
Oh, when he beat up Yellow Dragon.
Yeah, Feast of
Cups. Yeah, and I was like, geez, why didn't he do that to start with?
Hey, what's the movie he did with Steve Martin that I love.
Bowfinger.
I love Bowfinger.
Bowfinger.
That's a great movie.
That is a great movie. Yeah, and it's very un-Eddie Murphy, too. I mean, it's not a typical...
It's also directed by Frank Oz, speaking of Cookie Monster.
This might as well have been called, you know, Tibet Hills Cop, because this actually could have been an Axel Foley. This was an Axel Foley character, you know. Yeah. Take out the Finding Lost Children.
Yeah, but it should have been Tibet Hills Cop with this stupid hat that fell out of someone's pants at a MC Hammer concert or something.
Well, Wikipedia says that he was a social worker, and IMDb says he was a detective, but I don't think they ever even really said in the movie what the crap he was, other than he just showed up with the police, and the police let him take pictures of kids who were killed, and I'm like, wow,
seemed
really?
Weird. That seems strange. Mm-hmm. Would that ever happen? Does that happen anywhere?
If he was, they were portraying him as being really good friends with the detective, and you know, like he's a community activist, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
But why is he taking pictures? That's the weird part.
Yeah, that was really weird. That would throw up some flags in current day police work. Yes.
Well, she's been found. Let me just take a few pictures from my private collection. All right, and
this poor half-naked
I'm late for my
girl.
TV show. Okay, see you.
But I was, but this reminds me of the BBC Sherlock series. That's kind of what Sherlock is. He just kind of he's no cop. He's no
but
real detective.
That takes place before modern police. Well,
not the new one. The new Sherlock show is the one I'm talking about. The one with.
Oh,
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, they're extending that already existing thing and having us gloss over it. So you're not all wrong with that. But they do portray it in modern day. I just don't think it. I don't think that or this has any reflection on police reality, is all I'm saying. I think this is bull crap. There's no way they do that, especially with that hat, that stupid hat.
I actually like the hat. I remember the hat very well because of this. It's iconic.
Well, yeah, it's on the cover, too, and it's about the only thing I remembered, to be honest. It had been so long since I'd seen this that I think I was a junior when I last saw it, so this is the first time in that long, and it's just not the same movie I remember at all. I don't remember...
Same movie for me, really.
Is it? Well, because you had a thing.
It changed for me dramatically because the only time I'd ever seen the movie before was when I was in like the sixth grade over at my friend Tate Helmer's house. His parents had it on VHS.
Oh, Tate, and how's he doing?
I really, you know, I haven't found him on Facebook.
Good old Tate Helmer.
Yep.
He probably did the right thing, got $50, went to the courthouse, and changed that stupid ass name.
Dude, okay. His dad was a farmer.
That's a terrible name. Oh, well, that's a good farmer name, though.
It is. In fact, I'm sure Tate actually works at farm. So,
all right. Oh, well, look, Tate Helmer, Harlington, Texas. Looking for Tate Helmer from Harlington.
That's my buddy. Boy, you guys Google shit fast. Okay, so
anytime there might be boobs, we've got our finger on the pulse of Google right away.
So, I had never seen The Golden Child since I was a kid, basically, and so it was still. I still had memories of it, but I didn't have memories of it sort of post I lost 2000? The thread. What was said before I brought it up? Damn it.
Tate Helmer.
Before that.
Bowfinger. Kroll.
Black leather hat.
The glaive from Kroll.
Kroll. And going way back here. All right.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Let's go back to episode one. I didn't tell you guys, I had a dream. I think I may have Twittered it, but I literally had a dream that there was a glaive in my back from Kroll.
Really?
I woke up with
a
glaive in my back.
Was it as a dream in this movie?
I made the part up about Danny DeVito's fingerprints being on it, but.
Nice.
Anyway, well, if you remember it, pop in with that, whatever that was. Whatever. I like the thread. I don't know where it was going. But.
I wish we could play back.
Bowfinger?
Sadly not.
If we were on Howard
Stern. Beverly Hills Cop.
Although the Golden Child is referred to as, I already did that, the boy thing. Never mind.
I'm surprised you skipped right over the first item in the trivia, though, because it's so funny.
What is it?
It's John Carpenter was offered the job as director.
Oh, nice. Weird. Really?
But
weird.
I'm kind of already doing this movie.
like the exact same movie. In fact, two of your actors are in my movie.
What if Big Trouble in Little China was influenced by his reading of this movie?
Oh my gosh, dude.
Could be. I mean, they both came out in 1986.
I'm going to say that's a likelihood.
Yeah.
Don't you think? All that Asian stuff. I know Tibetan is different than just like full-on China stereotypes, but
yeah,
still. Mm-hmm. And nobody got real fat and blew up into a big salad or garbage bag or whatever that was. Let's move on to some notes here. I'll say this about the movie, despite the soundtrack being completely distracting while you saw it, the actual cinematography and photography generally was really held up for me. Looked good.
Mm-hmm. Except for the opening montage. It's like they just said, we need some opening stuff here. We need to establish we're in L.A. Let's do about 50 million shots of places in L.A.
And the editing was so bad in that thing.
It's horrible.
It was pretty bad. You know, I may as well now take the moment to play the music that the movie has throughout that I hate so much.
Right.
It's right here. This kind of stuff. And so many of our movies have this, but this is an egregious example. It's like, go get him, Ray. Where's he gone? Yeah. Pretty bad.
It was much worse than Ghostbusters. Yeah. But yeah, I think the soundtrack itself was actually pretty good. It had a lot of good 80s songs in it.
Yeah.
That came, you know, like Rats song that the Yellow Dragons
I saw that and I got all excited because I used to have such a thing for Rat. I loved Rat.
Apparently, they can apparently tune into a version of MTV that shows music videos that only play the chorus over and over.
What I loved was the very first shot of those guys. Made it look like they thought that watching Headbangers Ball was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah. They did. They were laughing about
it. Laughing, having a good time. That Rat video was good. Also, where's the cable in that house? Just saying.
Jabari Talk.
That place.
The cabling, the walls were single panel stuff. I mean, it was all set stuff. It was so obvious to see.
Yeah. What was the one? They Live had a problem with TVs being hooked up to nothing.
Yeah.
And here's another movie like that where it's like, come on, you guys.
The walls were paper thin. It was like old school SNL kind of skit stuff where you throw somebody through a wall and it was just a single panel of plyboard or something.
Except for the one wall that has the water pipes going through it that conveniently spray all over Charlotte.
Yeah, Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah, that worked out pretty good.
Terrific plumbing.
For all of us, I might add.
You throw someone through a wall with pipes in it.
Yeah, when she... Yeah. She.
Oh, she didn't. It was just the rotten...
Something happened. She shot it or punched it or something, but it sprayed her.
She jumped.
She jumped. No. The water spray was when she jumped on the pipes because the pipes were exposed over her head, and she jumped up and gave the guy a kick. And when she come back down, she pulled the pipe down.
Oh,
and that's when she got sprayed.
All right. Pulled the old pipe down.
You guys remember is boobs.
Yeah.
You know the old phrase, never pull the old pipe down. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Pull it down.
Never spray water all over a woman in a thin white dress.
Did this movie make you guys miss it?
Yeah, always
spray water.
Always, over. Right. Yeah, never. Yes. That word just slipped right by my head there. Did you guys feel, I felt a melancholy for no more Eddie Murphy in his prime. Like I really kind of, I know it's a little tropey and goofy and I watch it now and go, they just want him to do that dumb laugh because everyone thought that was charming back then or whatever. But I miss like the Beverly Hills Cop-ish stuff or things like that he did, 48 Hours, whatever. I love that stuff at the time.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And I kind of miss it.
This made me sad to realize that as a comedian, as a stand-up comic, he wasn't all he was cracked up to be. Like he had a moment, but he couldn't sustain it, you know?
Yeah, like Raw, and what was the other one?
Delirious.
Delirious. They were really funny at the time. I don't think they hold up so good now.
Yeah, his very first album was really awesome. It had songs on it. It was...
put it in your butt. Put this movie in your butt. So it's funny because I was so overexposed to Eddie Murphy at the time. I guess even when I watch it now, I can't see that it doesn't hold up. It's just so ingrained in my head. I still think the stuff is funny, but I don't really laugh out loud. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get you. That's exactly where I'm at with it. It's just such a different time. That brain no longer inhabits my head for whatever reason. Also, Chunky Asses is the best porn magazine title ever.
I love... Who looks at porn on the street?
I don't know. Does that even exist anymore? Can you do
that? Apparently white people.
So if I go to New York, Randy, you're telling me there's a stand with the Chunky... Well, not necessarily that, but whatever.
But they've got, a slip down over, you know, so it just tells you what it is. You've been to airports.
Well, sure. They have the guards on them, but I mean, all exposed out there, do they do that anymore? Or did they ever?
To open them and flip through them and everything else? No, they usually put them in, little plastic stuff. And
I remember the Circle K here, back when there was such a thing, they've all gone out of business, but this place called Circle K was like a 7-Eleven. They carried... girly magazines, and they just had them exposed. They weren't out on a shelf you could grab. They were behind the dude. They were all, you could tell what they were. It said, Penthouse had the full cover or whatever. And, a bunch of 12-year-old boys, and they're going,
Are you going to buy something?
Yeah, I'll have challenging
beef,
one another.
Beef jerky. Beef jerky.
I dare to buy one of those.
Yeah, totally. But they went away and nobody else sort of did that back then. And I remember thinking, that seems weird. It would just be exposed. But whatever.
It I don't understand. There's anything. There's a specialty magazine shop up in Boulder called Eads Smoke Shop. They sell tobacco. And then they must have every single magazine from around the world that you could possibly want. And I'll bet you, if there's a chunky asses out there, I'll bet you they get it.
Gross. Awesome. Gross.
I'm sure that was a real magazine. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah. But I'm sure there are things like that. Yeah.
I have a funny story to tell you guys sometime, but I'll save it. It's too long for this show. But it's kind of about that kind of thing. It's pretty funny. Anyway, Best Man in the World, the song at the beginning of the movie. So, Ibbot, just a little quiz here. Whose song is that? Who does
that? Sounds like one of the ladies from Heart. I'm going to say Anne Wilson.
Yeah. She the fat one or the cute one?
Oh, dude.
She's the fat one. Okay. Well, she's the one who's currently overweight or at least,
I mean, dude, I'm not the only one that noticed this. The Heart video that was "Don't Murder Something Alone."
Yeah,
that
how one? Do I get you alone?
Yeah, that video, they'll briefly show the giant one, just a tiny little clip of film, and then switch back over to Hot One like the whole rest of the video.
It's not sung by the one that's married to Cameron Crowe. How about that?
All right,
very good.
Okay, fair enough.
You're very good.
I like that song though, in its 80s. Yeah.
I didn't realize how much I like Body Talk by Rat.
I like the chorus. Can't say I've heard any of the rest of it.
Round and Round is the best Rat song.
Oh, dude.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. It's the most noted. Node.
I was going to say, other than Body Talk, name a third one.
You know what? I can't. I bet I can't.
Hey, but Scott will find a way. Just give him time.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Google.
Nice work. Part of a long line of Indiana ripoffs. We talked about that. Fu, the character Fu. He was the dude that looked like a monkey with the weird lips.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
He was great, dude. He was one of my favorite things. Scary.
That guy reminded me a little bit of Caruso's character in like the knick-knack type of character. The deaf mute who's, you know, the hired hand who's kind of agile and
the one and in Slurp My Butt,
whatever that one's called, Hudson Hawk.
Well, it was originally called Slurp My Butt, but they changed it.
Or not Knick Knack, Kit Kat. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now you may want to
get Slurp My Butt
there.
Hervé Villechaize.
Yeah. The plane.
All you gotta say is Kit Kat, and I'm gonna go buy a Kit Kat tonight,
dude. I have a whole wad of them right here. Somebody bought like a jumbo pack at Costco.
I'm having a really late Lent, and I gave up candy.
Really?
So what Randy's trying to say is give me a break.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I gave up candy and it's killing me.
I got weird energy from my stand-up desk. Anyway, I really do. Weird energy. I'm feel like a bit of a spaz, to be honest.
Do you ever feel like you just could see I'm sitting in my chair, so I have to make effort to get up and leave. Do you ever feel like just walking away from your desk? Just
walking away.
Yeah.
And when my feet quit hurting, it'll be even easier to stay here and
doing it now.
Have weird energy.
I'll see you guys later. All right, then.
Actually, while you guys talk, I kind of wait. I go over here a little bit. It's like, hey, to do here. Kind of wander around.
Oh, we're doing a show.
I burn more calories that way. All right. What else? Oh, I like the improv style. This movie was like listening to my friend Mark Larson, who I grew up with, who had this movie. The Monty Python, Holy Grail, and some other movie that he repeated constantly. It didn't matter.
Yeah, me too.
That's like three movies worth of lines that applied to any possible conversation or context you were in. And he would just spout lines from this movie constantly. So watching this was like listening to him again. It was really weird. Brought back these weird memories. I don't remember the movie very much, but I remember him having it memorized and then just repeating it all the time.
Yeah.
It was a little weird.
Well, we love Mark, the other guy.
Yeah, he's the other guy. You know him.
Yeah.
Oh, the other guy. Yeah, I remember the other guy.
I hardly see him anymore. He got married again and has a bunch of kids. Total Brady Bunch deal.
I like that.
No, this is like Remember My Friends from High School Night.
No, it's like.
So I had this one guy friend.
Tate McGruber or whatever said his name was. But no, he's got like four of his own kids. This lady came with like five. They got married. Now it's like totally that.
She came with five.
All they need is a maid named Alice and a freaking butcher named Sam, and they're set. Ooh, standing up makes me remember weird things like Sam and Alice. See, look, my brain's getting fed better. All right.
I'm so proud of you right now.
It's the standing up that's doing it.
It's the sleeves what does it, Brian. It's the sleeves what does it. And then a reminder that this is yet another 80s fantasy comedy with a stop motion puppet at the end. And we just can't seem to get enough of those. Which reminded me of Fright Night, which reminds me that, have you guys seen the trailer for that?
Oh, the new trailer? I can't wait. I'm really stoked.
Are you guys excited for it or what?
I'm excited for it, but it's not that exciting of a trailer to watch. But I'm excited because I remember the old one.
It seems pretty dark.
You see, they've taken the Roddy McDowell, at least from the trailer.
Yeah,
they've taken Roddy McDowell out, like the character.
Yeah. Maybe it's out of respect for the awesome portrayal.
I think it's a trailer. I don't see how you can take Roddy McDowell out of
Fright Night. You think he could still be there?
I think he's out.
Well, we know Roddy McDowell's out, but
right, but the
equivalent, right? Right. Because Cornelius, he no longer walks this earth.
Mm-hmm.
That way. Okay. Well, cool. Because I'm excited about it. It looked dark to me, and I'm kind of tired of the teenagery, stupid vampire movies. Yeah. So, something like that would be great. And Colin Farrell can do mean and creepy like nobody's business. So,
oh, absolutely.
Let's do it. Do this. Anything else you guys want to mention about the movie? Any tropes or anything before we move to sound files?
Tropes.
Were there tropes?
Give me one, Randy. I'll give you a head start. What do you got?
You must carry this water and not spill a drop, and it will show the purity and whatnot, and it's in a glass, and you're like, he even refers to Eddie Murphy's character, I forget his character's name, as a vessel, and you're like, oh, he's going to drink that.
Took him long enough, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of poor. Yeah.
It was also an Indiana Jones trope because it was taken right out of, I guess that hadn't come yet. So maybe Indiana Jones stole it for the third movie, the whole penitent man shall pass and all that.
By the
garbage.
Way, that wasn't the biggest telegraphing of a surprise in the film. The biggest was when Charlotte Lewis was killed, and no one was all that bothered by it because everybody knows that she can be resurrected at the end.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, Eddie had some tears in his eyes. They were welled up a little bit.
Aww.
A little good acting there.
Oh, no, she's dead. Well, I guess what's going to happen for the rest of the movie?
Well, look, when I was very young, somebody told me that when people die, they poop, right? That's always the deal, is they take a big crap. And so all I can think of when I see a movie where anyone dies temporarily or not, and even in this case, I'm like, well, she's not dead, really, but she probably still pooped her pants. So she's going to be a mess when she wakes up.
And that's kind of a trope in a movie. It's like somebody's dead for like, so many days or whatever, and they come back and they're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine.
That's why the day I die, I want to make sure I want to have a colonic in the morning or something, because I just I don't want to be that guy that craps in church or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
You don't want to be that guy.
There's always one.
It's not a trope. It's like a reverse trope. I didn't even know it was even possible.
Well, that's one of these then.
Ding dong diddly.
Go ahead.
When have you ever been to smoke on an airplane? Period.
Oh. In the 80s, apparently, but only if you're flying on China Airlines.
Oh, that was great. Yeah,
I remember.
I don't even think they do that, do they?
I totally remember people smoking on airplanes because I remember the little ashtrays in the armrest. Oh, yeah.
There was definitely.
I used to fly to California every summer.
That's insane.
And I remember people smoking all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Pumping in oxygen and.
Totally,
brilliant.
Totally, dude. No, it sounds crazy now. You hear about it now. You go, that could not have happened. But yeah, they totally could. I don't think they even had like non-smoking planes.
No, you just got screwed. Right, exactly. Right. Luck of the draw. You might sit next to a guy who's got his little ashtray flipped open. And he's smoking, and
By the way, speaking of tropes, you ever seen a bigger MacGuffin than the dagger in this movie?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, brother.
I mean, you can actually. At least it was a MacGuffin that ultimately was used to do something, but it was used to kill the devil.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He wasn't the devil. It was the demon.
Whatever.
He was a demon that
wasn't the devil.
He was inconvenienced at baggage claim. What kind of devil is that?
Right.
He was like, oh my gosh, Eddie Murphy has fooled me and called me Muncie or Moonsie or whatever.
Oh, Moonsie. That was another good funny bit, Like this movie is filled with great little scenes like that, but oh my gosh, the MacGuffin of the dagger, like, give me
And it even seemed like it was unnecessary even at the end, because the golden child girl was doing something. It had a little glowing stars appearing at the in front of the demon before he even jammed the dagger into him.
He was entrapping him in some way. There was a lot of things that happened. That whole end scene was was cut poor, like Randy
it
said.
Well, I think it was an afterthought. I think that they said, well, we have to end this, you know, star flashy, boom, boom, stop motion animation, ding, yeah. dong, diddly, and we're done.
Movies are hard to end. I saw the new X-Men thing, and mm-hmm. movies are hard to end. They're just hard. And they did a good job. I really liked that movie, by the way. It was great. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to. It's great.
Thursday night.
Sam Fisher is in it. Or not the guy, not Sam Fisher. The guy that plays Sam Fisher in the... he's in Total Recall. Help me here.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's the teacher that ends up getting bit in half in the Alien movie. Oh.
Oh. You
know who I mean? Everyone loves him. He's a geek hero, but he's the guy... Michael Ironsides.
Michael Ironsides. Yeah.
He shows up, dude. That guy's a grandpa.
He's really well, old. No kidding.
Yeah, he's really old.
Yeah, he's always been old.
Anyway, where was I? I don't know.
Clips.
Oh, clips. Let's do some clips. Let's talk about. Oh, so we did the music. Let's meet Eddie Murphy as he's on the talk show, shall we? 47 seconds of arguing with an idiot. Here it is.
I'm Mel Backman, and here with me today is Chandler Jarrell, who is doing something very vital to the community, or for the community, I should say, because Chandler is a finder of lost children. Am I correct?
Yes, I find missing children.
That's very interesting. You know, there was a show a couple years back called Finder of Lost Loves. Did you ever see that? Tony Franciosa, I believe, was the star of that.
Yeah. Tony listen, Franciosa. I'm looking for this girl.
I hope you're not nervous, which is perfectly normal, because this is my fifth show, and I'm still nervous. In fact, is there anyone here who's not nervous? Judy, are you nervous?
Listen, I'm trying to find this girl. Her name is Cheryl Moses. She disappeared a while back.
This is wonderful, because this is exactly what the Mel Backman report is all about.
I love that. By the way, there is a Tony Franciosa. He was born in 1928,
really?
Died in 2006.
And in 1985, he was the star of Finder of Lost Loves.
Yep.
Nice.
Love it. That's awesome. Jeez, the internet's great, isn't it?
It's amazing. I'm
trying to see if it'd be great if there was somebody from that movie who was in this.
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron Spelling.
Aaron Spelling. You mean producer? Producer extraordinaire?
Executive producer. He produced all 23 episodes.
He produced that disgusting daughter as well.
Oh.
See what I did?
That was right. Not
Eddie
nice.
Murphy, if he were here, this is what Eddie Murphy would have done. My stupid joke. He would have done that. All right, everybody. James Hong in the house.
Oh, Mr. Gerald. You honor my shop with your presence. He says he's very pleased to meet a man as great as you.
Oh, how do you say thank you?
Dodger.
Oh, Cartwright. Cartwright.
Dodger.
Love him.
And that
old man was great.
I love him.
In fact, later he went like this. That guy's great. Isn't he cool?
Okay, now I don't love him.
That's love a better him. Laugh than Eddie Murphy.
I agree.
Man.
My brother does that kind of laugh occasionally, my Korean brother. I'm not sure it's not because he's Asian. I'm not saying that. Although I only refer to him as my Korean brother. What is the golden child? This question gets asked right here.
Tell me about the golden child.
Every 1,000 generations, a perfect child is born. A golden child.
Oh.
He has come to rescue us.
Rescue us from what?
From ourselves.
Ah.
He is the bringer of compassion. If he dies, compassion will die with him.
So if something happens to the kid, the whole world goes to hell?
The world will become hell.
Ah. Not far from that now.
The snake lady.
He cares so much about the kids that have been kidnapped until people start being kind of crazy, and then it's all funny.
Wow.
It's all jokes
so
after that.
I can't take some pictures because I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's all you got.
That the woman who does the voice is a woman named Marilyn Schreffler. I just wanted to see if we've seen her in anything because the voice sounded really familiar. No, she's been in a lot of things, but a lot of cartoon work. Most recently, she played Winnie Werewolf in Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School and Rocky Red Rock in the Flintstone Kids.
Wow.
Well, wow. At least she's getting work.
She's a voice actress then. That's the deal. Okay. Well, that's cool that they do that.
Which means she's ugly.
Mm-hmm. When I first saw her, I heard this. Because she was a stupid looking half stop motion, half lady. Let's see. Midget in a tree. Don't send me emails. Listen to the clip.
Hey, Bird. Did you just see a little Hare Krishna midget in a tree floating? Or is it me?
I love okay. that.
So this movie starts with the golden child, and he's being brought tributes. And one of them is this plate with these four dead birds on it.
Yeah.
And he reaches out and touches one of them, and it comes back to life. And then I'm like, oh, that makes things so much better. Okay, now touch the other three. Touch the other three, kid. Hey, touch the other. What are you doing? They're going to come and kill everybody. Touch the other three birds. Yeah. And he doesn't. And the whole movie, I'm thinking, you know, this would have been a lot better with four birds instead of one.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that.
Okay, so go ahead. I got to interrupt again. Sorry.
No, dude.
We have seen her before. She has done voice work in something we've seen. She was Tom Selleck's robot maid's voice in Runaway.
Yes! Oh, what?
No way. Send in the floater, dude.
That's right.
Oh, that brings back memories.
I thought she sounded familiar, but I didn't think it was that. I don't think I recognized her voice from that.
I think that was in our first 10 episodes. And, you know, it's funny. I'm starting to think nostalgically back at that's how you know you've done a show for a good enough time. You start thinking back to things like they were a long time ago. It's like, oh, remember 2010 and Roy Scheider and his freaking shorty shorts? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the days, the good days. Devil voice, dude. So here's Randy's Kermit the Frog.
Cookie Monster
reference. Check him out.
Move the child before the chosen one draws near.
And to kill him?
The Ajanti dagger. It is not of this world. With it you could kill the child.
But Lord, it is so well guarded. How can I...
Offer to exchange the child for it. They can refuse nothing for his safe return.
Okay.
Dagger, dagger, dagger starts with D.
That's awesome.
Very good.
I hate that voice because anybody can do it. It hurts me to do it, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good for your it's not good for your vocal cords.
It's really bad. Even Fletcher says he won't do it.
And
he'll do anything.
Well, it could be something you could work into like a vocal cord exercise. It would be a bad idea like sing like that for an hour.
Yep.
Yeah, can't do it for long periods of time. Wow, this guy has done so many, he's done tons of voice acting work. A lot of Disney stuff, Up, Toy Story 3.
Oh, recent stuff.
Yeah.
What's the character in Toy Story 3?
Bullseye.
Oh, the horse.
The horse.
It is so not a dog, Brian. It's a horse.
It's that point in the film where Buzz Lightyear goes, "Now you must bring me this right.
Bring me the blood of a Barbie doll."
Okay, one of my favorite references in the film is it looked good to me because I like beef jerky, but it was yak loin, and here's that 10 seconds of fun.
Yak loin.
What is it?
Yak loin. Good to keep the yang up.
Ain't nothing wrong with my yang.
It's good to keep a yang up. Yak loin.
Wrong with my yang.
Love that. I love it. If I ever had a store where I went and a dude with a Asian accent ran the place, I would ask him to say yak loin as often as possible. Yak loin.
Yak loin.
Breaking my heart. I don't remember what this is, so I'll just play it.
And you gave me the wrong necklace, too.
You're breaking my heart, asswipe.
Oh, yeah. He was really good in this.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, better than I thought he was in Big Trouble, I thought.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Man, take him in this over that.
I agree, because he has this whole scene with Charlotte Lewis where they basically are trying to get the film to be 90 minutes long, so they spend several minutes talking about her potentially burgeoning romance with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, and then that other big broadcasted tell that he's her dad.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see it coming a billion miles away.
Yep. It's just fun. It's interesting that him and James Hong being in both films kind of reversed in terms of screen time.
Yeah,
there are galaxies that have never received light from our sun that could see that coming.
Wow.
Trillions of light years away.
Yeah.
I like that. Let's see. Oh, I want the knife. Okay, so everyone, you know, if you're going to, every time on Twitter I say, yeah, we're doing Golden Child next. 50 tweets come back saying, I want the knife or whatever. You know, they're trying to do the song on Twitter. So I couldn't not do it. So here it is.
We have come to ask for the sacred cross dagger of Ajanti.
For what reason?
For the golden child.
He does not need it.
To save his life.
The child lives for our sakes, not for his own.
I humbly beg you, let us have the knife.
Let him ask it.
I said, I want the knife.
Stupid.
But it's so funny.
I have to talk to you like this, father. Give me a break.
I know, that's stupid. It's really stupid. But it's funny when he says things like this.
What is it, ass wife?
Things like that. And this part, oh, Randy did the voice again. I keep getting confused that's not your real laugh and that you're just doing Eddie Murphy again. So do this one instead. Can anyone do that one? I want to be weird and old one day. Let me ask you, this is great. This whole burpee thing is great.
There's no one asked your advice about something. I'm going to let that slide because I understand it's your way. Some pressure left, though.
I love that. Greasy old man burping.
I'm gonna let that slide. Like, what are you gonna do if you don't let it slide? This is a guy who can disappear while you're holding on to him.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Yeah, right.
Beyonce's video. Is that who that was in that meme? It's Beyonce, right?
Yeah, Beyonce.
Okay, I'm not saying that wrong.
Greatest video.
Beyonce had
of all
the
time.
Best video of all time.
I long for all another. Time. We need another great meme like that. Like a big one like that. We haven't had one like that.
They keep coming along. These memes.
I know, but they're. Since Charlie Sheen, have we had a good one? Like a real good one besides Rebecca Black and her We So Excited crap? No.
Damn, you Rebecca Black?
I say unto you, no. Oh, by the way, I just got to tell you a funny story. Over the weekend, I'm surrounded by about 12 8-year-old kids who are doing kind of some scouty thing, something. Mm-hmm. And it's a neighbor doing it. And I was like, oh, how's everybody doing? And they're da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what brought it on, but all of them started singing the Friday song. Little 8-year-olds.
Oh, no.
I know. It's permeated our
That's
culture.
Great.
I'll bet they could sing it better than Rebecca Black.
I'm 100% sure about that. I think that's true. All right. What else? That's it. That's Sam Files. Let's do our awards. And to do our awards, one might want to have
Come
something
on.
Queued up and ready for
this
it.
This standing Scott thing is funny.
Here we go. It's like being drunk or being on speed. I don't know which.
You don't know which.
I really am hyped out. I don't know what's going on.
Really don't know which.
It's freaking me out.
Yeah. No, when you stand up, it's true. It's standing up does get you more energetic. You feel like you got to bounce around. Got to keep moving. Got to keep alive. Got to keep moving.
You're doing
it's
it now.
When I lay down, I'm going to sleep.
You're doing it too, Ibbot. I can tell. I am. Your first day doing it, I could tell. You've yes. kind of mellowed out since then, but this is my first day, so there you go. Oh, yeah, awards. That's what we're doing. Let me tell you what those are. Oh, shoot. You know what I kind of forgot to do?
Awards.
Okay, here it is. I got a few of these. Game of Thrones Award. Dragon Dude plays big role in the show. The Lannister guy, we mentioned that, so he wins for the Game of Thrones Award. I could play the music if you want. I don't have to, but...
No, you don't have to.
The Chinese Fantasy Comedy Award. Two dudes from Big Trouble. The Indiana Jones Meets Nazi Face Award. Or, I'm sorry. The Indiana Jones Melting Nazi Face Award goes to the creature at the end. I always think of everything like, you know, everything since Indiana... Or since Raiders... That has like a terrible melty facey animated thing at the end. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Anyway.
It's just a ripoff. Ever since then, everything else is a ripoff.
That's right. The Why Can't the Kid with Force Powers Get Himself Out of His Own Cage Award goes to that kid who couldn't get himself out.
Because he was surrounded by Pepsi.
And he was a girl. The Leftover Beverly Hills Cop Soundtrack Award goes to this film. And I would give the overall soundtrack a B because I kind of had fun with it. It was okay.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it's all right. What do you guys think? Ibbots? Brian's? I mean?
I like soundtrack score.
Yeah. Soundtrack. You're right. Yeah, exactly. Soundtrack, different score, very 80s. All very
right.
same.
All right. I'll give you that. Well, that brings us then to the point of the show where we get to ask you three what you thought of the movie summed up in 140 characters or less. Let us start, shall we, with Randy Jordan. What do you got?
The Golden Child. It makes you wonder how they could have made a sequel. Oh no, they stole the miniature stoic again. Where's Eddie Murphy when you need someone to stab Satan?
Pretty good. Then we go to Mr. Brian Dunaway.
The Golden Child apparently taking taking the place of the Jade Nicholas off in a where the crap is my notes at? Hold on a second. I lost my notes. I just hit delete on my notes.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You the lost golden
child.
Thing.
The golden child, Eddie Murphy, plays some kind of detective caseworker pedophile who is the chosen one.
Wait, did you lose your notes or did that just come out of you just now?
The golden jerk. Yeah, that was just me improvising.
That's pretty good.
pedophile chosen one. Who's doing the choosing?
Yeah. Pedophile. He's the podophile. Yeah.
That's pretty good for an improv. Brian Ibbett.
Yeah, whatever.
Round us out.
The Golden Child. Axel Foley and his only brush with the supernatural as a Playboy centerfold hires him to find a young transvestite who's been kidnapped by Tywin Lannister.
Wow. Well, that's a lot better than my lost notes.
That was pretty good. You know what? You made a Game of Thrones reference that I didn't have to, and for that, I thank you. Usually it's me.
If only I could play the theme. Oh, well, that's right.
I have it right here, but I won't. Here's what I learned while you flew on the worst possible Tibetan airline of all time. Hey, I want a magic dancing Pepsi can. I just want some chips. Now that's some fancy rat transformation technology. See the rat when you turn into the dude? Yeah. And then back.
Yeah, then back to a rat. So what's he going to do? Like,
that was
be a rat and make his way all the way back to the airport and fly back to Tibet?
He's saying weird. He's a metamorph. He's so OP.
He should have just blinked. He's totally
I forgot to mention that trope earlier. What's up with alleys in movies and there's only a big green dumpster that you can hide behind and no one ever checks the dumpster?
Right.
It's always full of crap and no one looks. You're right.
Maybe he could have said shaving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Led to death.
Why yo chosen one gotta be so jive, honky? And lastly,
that is a trope. Actually.
It is a trope. And then lastly, watch out for that frozen booker. Yep, I'm sorry, booger. You yeah. might get scratched. I wrote booker. Scratched. I don't know why I wrote booker.
Did but you really?
Sure, why booker. Not? Yeah, I read it as it was written. Let's move on to an email from a listener talking about our recent episode, talking about Ghostbusters 2.
Ooh.
This is Jeremy from New Hampshire, somewhere in Middle Earth. He says, hey, guys, I really enjoyed your sacking of Ghostbusters 2, but I want to leave you with a recommendation. You spent a few minutes on a sidetrack about Rick Moranis and his role as the voice of one of the mooses in Disney's, or mice, would you call him, whatever, in Disney's Brother Bear was mentioned. If you haven't done so already, I highly recommend listening to the audio commentary track for that film if you ever get a chance. It is like an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 with Bob and Doug McKenzie. They do the entire track in character as the moose, which is Bob and Doug, and it feels completely unscripted and spontaneous. I can't remember it. Oh, I cannot recommend it enough. Thanks for the hilarity. Keep it up. Thanks, Jeremy. I will do that because I did not know that existed.
Oh my God, I hope I still have that.
If not, I'll find it. I'll get it. I want to hear that. That sounds great. More Bob and Doug.
We need to do one of my favorite things that we do when we're just talking as a group of friends off the cuff is talk about stuff that we found on Netflix streaming. I want to do a segment. It's like something I found in the last week.
You totally could do that. Sure.
It's on Netflix
streaming. Did you find something recently you want to recommend now?
There's a hardcore porn on there.
Well, yeah, right. Just the other night, because of FilmSec, I'm sure all of you guys are starting to see or have been seeing for a while how Netflix is recommending a bunch of really bad movies to
we
you.
We have broken their recommendation system for sure.
Yeah. And, so I actually had it recommend to me a documentary called The 50 Worst Movies of All Time.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it's the worst documentary I've ever seen, which is really sad because the films that the guy actually touches on are actually quite bad. Mm. Like they're really bad and they're interestingly bad.
Yep.
But then the guy who makes the documentary, the guy who's talking, is horrible.
Really?
Like it's almost like you wonder if there's a meta joke there, you know, like...
Hmm.
In order to make a documentary about the 50 worst films of all time, you've got to be worse somehow.
Well, you've officially made it so that I don't want to see that now. But that's also in my recommended list. And I've noticed that my recommendation list is like all 2.5-star movies now. And they're all junk. It's like, what the hell happened, Netflix? I guess I know what happened, but...
Netflix thinks you'll like this.
Yeah.
That's right.
It thinks you'll like... what was the one I saw the other day? Some stripper Nazi stupid something. And my first thought was, ooh, great film sack movie. And then I went, wait a minute. They think I'll actually like this. Like I've broken the system. But anyway,
yeah,
we do that for you people. We take the sacrifice. We take the bullet. So you don't have to. Actually, you're all watching them too. So whatever.
I think I said last week, and I really do want, I hope we could find a minute every
week to talk about stuff we found on streaming. I think I said last week all of the original Twilight Zone is on streaming.
Yeah, they're great.
Watch it.
Yeah. My my 14-year-old daughter got completely obsessed and watched them all back to back one weekend and just couldn't get enough. They're so good.
Mm-hmm. They're really good.
I mean, it's amazing stuff. For I mean, it's aged as hell, but it doesn't matter.
Something that it recommended to me was the first Get Smart movie, The Nude Bomb, which I haven't seen since it was in theaters in the 80s.
Oh, the actual Get Smart, guys.
It's an actual Get Smart with Don Adams and Barbara Feldon and the chief. And I think it might have had a fake chief in there. But anyway, I haven't seen that since the 80s. So it's funny that, you know, all right, well, you remember this one from your childhood? How about this piece of crap from your childhood?
Well, there you go. I like that idea. Let's do that. If you guys ever have anything each week, we can just take a minute and
make. There's been so many for me lately.
Recommendation.
It wants me to watch a movie called Horsey, and I just won't do it.
I don't know what it's
The description doesn't give me anything to go on.
Well, there's nothing. Like, tell us the description. What does it say? Do you have it handy?
Delilah Miller is an explosive 23-year-old painter. All right, stop right there. Are you painting with grenades?
Hippie movie.
Yeah.
Sounds like a total
horsey.
Explosive.
I have no idea.
Hipstery indie crap. But hey, whatever, man. I like these recommendations. This will be fun. That is it. Now, a note.
They're not recommendations.
So, let's do Scott Fletcher first. Scott Fletcher says this, by the way, a quote from today.
So, you're just going to let that booger freeze up on your jacket like that?
Yes, we are, Scott Fletcher. All right, so a quick note about the next episode of Film Sack. It only exists in our minds because we're not doing a new episode until we're all together at Nerdtacular 2011, recording the episode live in front of a studio audience, that is to say the attendees at Nerdtacular. That'll be recorded, and I will post it in the podcast feed as soon as humanly possible after the event, probably that weekend sometime.
Right,
and it's so, Tremors. So
yeah,
here
so it's
we
gonna
go.
Be a little more than a week. From now,
yeah, which is my whole
unless
point.
Unless you're Nerdtacular, and then you'll see it live on Friday.
Yeah, because next Friday, this coming Friday, well, hold on. Today's episode of recording today will air this weekend. Next weekend is Nerdtacular, right? Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. We'll record. We're still recording. It'll still be a Friday. We're recording it, so you'll actually just get it a couple of days later than normal. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we so excited.
It's hard.
Should I sit in the front seat or the back seat?
How about wherever there's a room? I'm just like, are you going to kick someone out in the front seat?
Well,
she's in the trunk, Rebecca Black. How about you get in the trunk?
She's high on cereal. So
you know, I do really hate Friday, but I'm so glad that it gave the world the song Gang Fight.
Gang Fight? No, what? I missed a meme.
You actually linked it on Twitter a couple of months ago.
Gang Fight
is a bad lip reading version of Friday.
Oh, right. I didn't know it was called Gang Fight.
Oh, it's so good.
It is good. I agree. I love all the extended memes. It's like getting hair extensions for memes. Mm-hmm. I like it. That could just be the standing desk talking there. Anyway, so we'll be doing that next week. It's Tremors, and I'm stoked about it. There's a couple of surprises associated with that nobody even here listening to my voice, including you three, know about. So I can't wait to spring
that
on everybody.
That's kind of frightening.
What?
That's kind of frightening.
No, it shouldn't be. It'll
Scott's
be
like,
amazing.
You're going to be surprised.
I'm pulling a Johnson hardcore here.
Kevin Bacon's going to join us.
I've seen this movie.
No.
Doesn't work out well for the people being surprised.
Michael Keaton's dad joins us.
Oh, excellent.
We're going to make Troll 3.
What's his name? Michael Gross? Yeah.
Michael Gross.
Yep.
Can we drive out of the city and make Troll 3 together?
Yes, let's do it. It's not far. It's not far at all. Probably a half hour out of town. But anyway, we're totally, totally looking forward to this. I can't wait. It's Tremors. It'll be next time. In the meantime, go to the website, filmsack.com. The email address is filmsack@gmail.com. And we can be found on Twitter at twitter.com/filmsack. And if you're in the mood, leave us a review on iTunes because we love those as well. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. Stay tuned.
The golden child.
You can't fool me, Monty.
Wait.
More like the golden jerk.
This guy.
This This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.